But the battle is in your mind. It's in your heart. And that battle you have to fight yourself. Of course, whatever we meditate on will affect what we speak. And what we speak will create our future. A man is tested by the prosperity of his life. Once things go well, it's so easy to forget about the Lord. And that's when often the issues of the heart are exposed. So our text today will be the beginning, Psalm 51, 10 to 12. And I thought instead of reading it, I'm going to sing it. And it's my own prayer for this season too. So, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. King David prayed this prayer after many years of being chased around and being in trouble and finally having a nice palace, an army, and everything went well. He was probably in that moment at the peak of his existence. And in that time, he had a terrible downfall. And in the darkest moment, probably here, he cried out, and he wrote this psalm, and that was his prayer. And I just want to reflect a little bit on his situation. In Proverbs, it is said that a man is tested by the prosperity of his life. When things go well, that's when it comes out of your heart what's really in you. If you have no options, then you just have no other choice than to cry out to the Lord or to make do or to go through it. But once things go well, it's so easy to forget about the Lord. And that's when often the issues of the heart are exposed. And so here David had to trust God and cry out to him. You know, when he was young, he was the youngest of 8 boys. And some scholars believe that he was maybe out of an illicit affair, maybe Jesse had a slip and David was born out of that. We're not sure, but definitely he was the youngest. And when there was a huge, very important meeting with the prophet and the feast, the sacrifice, he wasn't even included. All the 7 brothers were there, but David alone out on the field looking after the sheep. And so I saw, when you look at his life, there was a lot of adversity. When he was, later on, when he killed Goliath, he was promoted, of course, a lot of things went well. But then again, King Saul, for many years, tried to kill him. And he ran for his life. And in all that time, he kept integrity. He kept a heart that was like, even when he has an opportunity to kill David, King Saul, he would never do it. He would keep the honor he had for the anointing of God at the forefront. And he had so many opportunities to make wrong choices. And it seems like he did very well. He kept his integrity. And I somehow believe his habit of worshiping God and singing psalms is what kept him in that place. Like at one point, even the men, the outlaws that gathered around him, a rough bunch, wanted to kill him as well. And he would run from Saul and he would be in another nation. And then the king from there wants to kill him as well. And so it was tough. But, you know, I see him as a boy when he wrote, like, Psalm 23, is, we think, was as a teenager maybe when he tended the sheep. And when you look at the depth of it, he really knew how to connect with God. But now he has a palace. He has a great army. Things are going well. And so stuff in his heart is exposed. And so let's go to 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 to 3, and read just the beginning of this story. And so it reads, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And that's as far as I read. And so it happened in the spring. And I just thought, what is the spring? It's after the winter. The winter speaks to us of laying low, recovery, rejuvenating, right? Walk in the nature, maybe family time, sport. You know, it's a good season, but it's not really the season that brings forth fruit. And then in the spring, when the sun comes out, you often feel tired. And it's sometimes tough to get out of that mode and to get when the sun warms things up. And so what I was thinking, what was David doing that winter? And somehow, did he maybe lack spiritual renewal? You know, we need to feel God's heart for the season ahead of us. We need to, like, I just saw this New Year's Day today, or the other, that we just have, the first days of the year. We ponder, Romy and me, we do. We plan what we want to do this coming year. What do we expect? And then most of all, we want to say, God, what is on your heart? Because sometimes we think and plan, but maybe God's heart is different. And so the next line in the text is, when kings go to battle. And so the thought came that we are kings. Paul admonishes us, through Jesus Christ, we shall reign in life. And we are here in this, we are called into a relationship with Jesus. We are called to extend his kingdom, to walk with Jesus, to crush the deeds of darkness, and to release life and light everywhere we go. We are called to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Make it obedient to the truth revealed in Christ, right? And so we are, as kings, we go to battle. We rule and reign, right? We are, as we take our stand for what God placed in our heart, we are ruling as kings. In Ephesians 6:12, it says we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. I'm paraphrasing. And so there is a war going on, but it's not against our neighbor. It's not against other nations. It's not against the government. It's not against the regulations they place on us, but it's against unseen powers that control people and systems and circumstances around us. So David sent in the text here Joab, his commander, and the army is the next line. See, when I was reading that, I thought we cannot let Pastor Phil and the other believers around us fight the battle for us. I love to ask somebody for prayer when Pastor Phil prays for me or somebody else. I have a need and they pray for me. And I love to listen to good messages and read good books. And that's good. But the battle is in your mind. It's in your heart, the mind, will, and emotion. And that battle you have to fight yourself. You're not alone. We are all together in this. We help each other. The Holy Spirit is with us. He has given us his word. But there is still a duty on us. We have to renew our mind. We have to renew our own mind in order to see lasting change and stability. And you know, when I talk about that, when I prepare this message, you know, I really felt at the end I'm gonna re-listen that message, because I feel I need to hear that too. Because no matter how long you are a believer, you constantly have to work on that, because the things around you, the world, everything that goes on is speaking to you on a daily basis. And unless we on a daily basis renew our mind to the truth revealed in the scriptures and hear the voice of God, we too would go astray. So 2 Samuel 11:2, then one evening he gets up of his bed and goes to the roof and sees. I thought, that's weird, in the evening get out of bed, right? So it kind of shows some of the habits he developed through that winter. And I just thought of David, like in the Psalms, he says like 7 times a day, I will praise you, O Lord. But he talks about, when I lay on my bed, I will thank you. And he talks about that. And so I wonder, I'm pretty sure in this season, he must have let that slip. It's not sure, but I kind of suspected. Then in verse 3, it goes, he inquires when he saw the beautiful woman. And you know, sin may seem attractive at the beginning. And to others, it may appeal to reasoning. Because not all sin is fleshly sin. It's also sometimes just the way we think and approach things, right? It somehow appeals to our reasoning. You know, I have one. See, I picture a guy, for example, that's searching on the internet for something, a tool he has to get maybe for his job. And then maybe suddenly an ad comes up and she maybe has a smile and looks attractive. And before you know it, he clicks the wrong buttons. And it may look good for a while, but it's that curiosity in us. And we, if you're not strengthened by the Lord on a daily basis, it's so easy to go in the wrong direction. Or what about a wandering mind? When the thought of fear comes, of worry, of anxiety. And it makes total sense. After all, bad things could happen. And that too is a battle. A battle we have to face. And we have to be vigilant. We have to be strong. We have to be renewed in our mind to the word of God. Because whatever we meditate on will affect what we speak. And what we speak will create our future. In Proverbs it says, the power of death and life is in our tongue. It's not empty confessions, but it's born out of revelation, understanding, truth that has somehow impacted us to a place where we meditate on the truth in connection with Jesus and we start speaking out of conviction. Well, whoever confesses Jesus as Lord will be saved, there again. But you know, no matter where we are right now, where you are, where I am now, the redeeming blood of Jesus is enough to bring us to a good place. So David prays, create in me a clean heart. And you know, it's amazing how when I see David, when the story goes on, it turns out very bad, of course, and the prophet approaches him and brings the word of the Lord to David, and first he gets angry and so on, but then there is a repentive heart. But before that, sin took him to a place where he manipulated, he lied, and he even murdered. And that's where sin takes us. It keeps us longer than we want to stay and takes us further than we want to go. But the beauty is, if we nurture, if we understand God's goodness and cultivate his presence, I really believe we can have a heart that if we do wrong, we run to Jesus. We run to the Father. And we also easily could land in that place where we are so busy maintaining our comfort that we have no time and energy for God's kingdom. The demands in life are big, and things go sometimes so hectic, and if we are not careful and we don't place priorities right, we start getting lean in our spirit. And so David here, he prays, renew a right spirit within me. You know, it's important we have a commitment to say, that we say, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to do what's right. That's good. That's, we want to have that. But I really see it more and more, and I believe David saw that too, that somehow even to want to do right has to be burdened by God. Renew a right spirit within me. In Philippians, I believe it says, God will work in us to will and to do. And so I had times in my life I prayed, God, make me willing. Because when I'm honest, I looked at my heart and, yes, I want to do right. Yes, I want to fulfill my call. I want to obey God. But down deep inside, suddenly we see something resisting the grace of God that doesn't want to go where God wants us to go. And so sometimes we end up in hard places where we cry out a renewed, cry out to God and say, give me, renew a right spirit within me. Create a clean heart. Lord, make me willing. We may not murder, but we kill love. So there are two choices in our life. The first one is sit in the easy chair and let the voice of the world system keep you complacent. The second choice you have is hear his voice and respond to it and let the life-giving power of God affect the world around you. If you listen to the news media more than to the word of God, then your torment is self-inflicted. So I want to continue, and if you want to read the story on your own, it's a good story. It ends up eventually that the child that was produced died, and David is very grieved. He fasted for a long time to beg God for a miracle, for a healing. It didn't happen. But then in 2 Samuel 12:20, now the child died, and in his grief, David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And I thought that's so neat. You know, in his brokenness, the first thing he did when he stopped the fast, the child died, and there's nothing he could change. He went to worship God. And you know, there's a time of grief and a time of sorrow, but we need to look past we cannot change the past. And sometimes we have to look past what's behind us and build a future. Because there is hope in God. God lives outside of time. And he can do more than we can even dream or imagine. And there is always hope in God. And then verse 23, he makes that statement, David. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And so he is approached. Why do you stop fasting when he dies? And he says, I know that I'm going to see him again. And I felt that's so comforting, that God is eternal and he has a plan that goes even beyond our time. So we can totally trust him in that. So now I want to go to Colossians 3 as in closing. And because we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to have a vision for our future. Because in this life, in the trials, in the pressures, sometimes we feel so helpless. And here Paul says in Colossians 3, 1-4, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so I just thought I want to close with that, you know, to look to Jesus. And if you're not sure, that Jesus is your personal Savior, then invite him today. He longs, he's waiting for you to call him in. And no matter how long you go to church, no matter how long you are a believer, connect with Jesus today. And I speak that to myself, to find a place again to connect, to be strengthened, and to be renewed. And so, Father God, I just pray for everybody in the sound of my voice, that your word would just bring life, that you would bring courage, Father, that we would just see the redemption in Jesus, that there is no weapon formed against us, that you won the prize, you won the victory, and we can trust you to the end. And I pray that you change our hearts in the areas where we may have a resistance, Lord, that you move in our lives and help us to be open to receive your voice again and again. In Jesus' name.